FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
I want to get to my guest this morning. She is Kaylee McEnany with the RNC, at Kaylee McEnany on Twitter. Kaylee, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good to have you in this morning, and very timely given the president's fantastic rally last night. I mean, once again, just like we saw in Cape Girardeau when he was here, it was standing room only. They couldn't fit everybody into the auditorium. They had to crowd around the outside of the building and watch on monitors. It's just amazing how the media misreports the turnout the president gets for these rallies.
Oh, of course. The media continually misreports the turnout. Brad Parscale, the campaign manager, tweeted out that there were 70,000 RSVPs to this rally. So a huge number of people. There were 35,000 people waiting outside in 45-degree weather. It was really incredible, the turnout, and the president was on fire, as he always is. Of course, there was that competing Beto O'Rourke so-called rally or march. I'm not sure what he was calling it, but just a few hundred turned out. So quite a difference. The Democratic wonder boy couldn't quite turn out the crowd the president did.
Yeah, well, they're claiming that O'Rourke, some media outlets are claiming that O'Rourke drew 7,000 or 8,000 people and that his crowd rivaled that of the president.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not by a long shot. They can claim that, but you know, this is the same media that continually misreports. They'll take pictures of the rally site before, hours before it even starts, and hours later then tweet, "Oh, no turnout for President Trump." And of course, the picture will completely misinterpret or mischaracterize the turnout of the rally. So I don't really trust the media when it comes to the size of those attending the Trump rally.
No. Well, and it's frustrating to me to sit at home and watch and know that somewhere there's a technical director directing the TV camera that's carrying the feed, and they will never switch to a wider shot to show you how big the crowd is. They would do that in any other setting.
Exactly, in any other setting they would, but they don't do that because it is President Trump. And I know there's some rally camera, I believe it's actually RNC camera or someone affiliated with the president's organization, and it shows the sweeping crowd size, and when you see that raw footage, it's just really something to see. But of course, the media will never turn the cameras and show that that effect of the Trump rally, which is really powerful to see just how many people turn out in freezing weather for the president.
Well, I want to play a bite here from what the president had to say last night. Go to cut number 20, please, Tricia.
Just a few thousand feet, as an example, from where we stand right now on the other side of the border, it's one of the most dangerous cities in the world, Juarez, Mexico. Well, the people at Juarez agree. Yet, thanks to a powerful border wall in El Paso, Texas, it's one of America's safest cities now.
Yeah, it amazes me. We know, Kaylee, that walls work. What did he say? El Paso had 23 or 24 murders last year. Juarez, Mexico had 1,200. And yet people still want to argue this fact.
Right. You can't argue this fact. In all four sectors where a wall has been built, we've seen illegal immigration drop by 90% or more. So it is definitely the case that walls work. It just takes common sense that if you have a barrier structure there, it's going to deter people. So the president is spot on with that clip, and walls do work. And, you know, when Nancy Pelosi and others try to argue that point, they kind of stumble over themselves because there's not much you can say in response to numbers, to stats, and to the very evident proof that we have that walls do work.
Yeah, it's a good point. What do you know about the deal that's supposedly been struck on border funding?
You know, I don't know the exact details. I know what's being reported is that it is over $1 billion for border wall funding to fund 55 miles of fencing, a steel slab, basically. So not fencing, but a steel wall along the Rio Grande. And also they removed the demand that they cap detention beds, which was basically a back doorway of allowing criminals back into society. When you cap the number of detention beds, you have to release individuals into society. So that was removed in what was kind of a cave to Republicans. But, you know, I'm not sure whether the president will accept this. Certainly don't want to get ahead of him here. We'll wait to hear whether he accepts those terms and whether those terms that the press is outlining are, in fact, the terms.
And indeed, it was, I mean, it's below the initial offer for funding, correct? Wasn't it $1.6 billion at one point, and now they've dropped it down to $1.3 billion?
You know, again, that's reporting. So okay. I thought I saw somewhere a number that was a bit higher than that. But, you know, it's hard to say until we get the full framework released. And also it depends how the funding was initially allocated. I know this is definitely allocated to the entirety of a steel structure. So not just border security generally, but a steel structure. But again, the president may not accept the steel, so we'll wait to see what he says.
Kaylee, is it important at the end of the day that the president's able to walk away from this and tell the people that voted for him they can call it what they want, but whether it's a 15-foot steel slat structure or concrete, it's still a wall?
Right. You know, I think that's the important point, is to have a barrier structure. You know, call it what you will. I would call that a wall, steel slats. But, you know, Democrats are the ones wanting to play the semantic game. But I think the president, as long as he's able to walk away and say, I stopped illegal immigration via having a structure on the southern border, I think that's a win.
We're talking to Kaylee McEnany from the RNC, and we're happy to have her on this morning. A couple more quick questions for you, Kaylee. On the situation in Virginia, has the RNC taken a position on the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and what needs to happen there?
We have. We said that Governor Northam needs to step down. We've also said that about Attorney General Mark Herring, who set the standard when he called on Northam to resign amid that photo coming out in his yearbook and the admission of wearing blackface. So we said there's no place for that, and it's time to step aside for both of them. But with regard to the lieutenant general, we've said, hey, you know, we're going to be consistent here and let the facts come out. This should be investigated. These sexual assault allegations are egregious. No place for that in government, certainly. But with regard to Kavanaugh, we said let the facts come out, and he ended up being innocent. And here we're saying let the facts come out.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's such a double standard, particularly in the mainstream media. We saw it in the Washington Post, who knew about this story back during the election and chose not to run with it. They didn't hold the same standard when it came to Judge Kavanaugh.
Exactly right. It was a very different standard. And some of those Democrats who are so hard on Kavanaugh are now kind of silent in the face of the lieutenant governor. And you know, let's be clear, these allegations are horrible. And if they're true, of course, he needs to step aside. But we've been consistent as the other side that hasn't been quite as vociferous as they were against Judge Kavanaugh.
That's true. And it's kind of sad, but it strips away the lies of the left who want to act like bias in the media doesn't exist. And you were a victim of it yourself recently on Instagram, correct?
That's right. Yes, I simply posted a picture of Elizabeth Warren's, basically her bar card, the same one being widely circulated by the Washington Post and Fox and CNN and reported everywhere. I just put it up on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Found out the next day that I was blocked because I had blackmailed, harassed, or bullied Elizabeth Warren. Oh. And fortunately, conservatives stood up for me. And within 24 hours, Instagram issued an apology. So that was good. And it's all thanks to conservatives that happened.
Right. And, you know, they backed off maybe because it happened to you. But I have friends all the time who get put in Facebook jail or get their Twitter accounts suspended because they say something that the left doesn't want to hear. It's a suppression to some extent of their free speech.
Exactly. And that's what I always say is, you know, for me, I was able to have, you know, the Daily Caller and others write articles on my behalf, but not every conservative, not every grassroots person has that ability to get the media to fight back. And, you know, how many conservatives across the nation, just everyday Americans who want to voice their political opinion are censored? I would guess many, because I hear the stories as well.
Well, it's a great point. And Kaylee, keep up the good fight. We'll all be watching, as you are, I'm sure, to see how the president reacts to this latest border deal.
Thanks so much.